Hello, and welcome back to Secrets in Nature. I'm Rachel.
And my name is Lexi.
And today, we are going to share with you our astrology readings.
We both got birth chart readings from Jill, who we had on the podcast for an interview last summer. If you haven't listened to that interview, please go listen to it. It's very juicy. I think it's titled Vedic Astrology and Living by the Planets with Jill Blumenstock. So if you haven't listened to that, pause, go listen, and then meet us back here so we can talk about everything she had to say to us when she gave us our birth chart readings this week.
Yeah, in case you're just totally confused about astrology, that would be very helpful.
Yeah. Oh my God. I do have to say, I guess she thought we were like astrology gurus. Like she thought I knew way more than I actually know. And I don't know if it's because of the podcast. Don't know. But as soon as she started the reading, she was like ripping off like this planet in this house and this Rahu and Ketu and blah, 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 like going so fast. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I had to ask so many questions because I was just like, I am not there yet. I really don't know that much. And I felt bad because I feel like I took up a lot of time like asking questions, but I just really need to understand mm-hmm. it, you know?
I think mine was pretty good. I understood everything, but it was probably more simplified because it was just like my birth chart reading. Yours was a 6 month plan.
Yes. So I got a birth chart reading, which is just when she looks at your chart and tells you all of your like personality traits, basically, and why you are the way you are. And I got that from her about 5 years ago. And I was 19. Yeah. Was I 19? It was in 2017. So I think I was 19. And then now I just got like a 6 months ahead reading. And she just tells me, like, what the time periods of my life look like, that kind of thing. But Rachel had never gotten a reading, so she got just the standard birth chart reading.
Yep. And I found it very eye-opening.
Yes. So, naturally, I had to go back and listen to the one that I got 5 years ago. It was a little cringy, not going to lie. My 19-year-old self and my present-day self are not alike, really, at all. But I listened back to it, and I think it resonated, and I just really appreciated it a lot more listening to it now. Like, it made a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which just goes to show that, like, the root of who you are really doesn't change.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to know how I would have thought about it 5 years ago. Astrology wasn't even on my radar 5 years ago.
No. I mean, it had to have been on my radar because I was interested enough to get a birth chart reading from her. But I think a lot of it went right over my head, and I was just so absorbed in who I was at that time that I was like kind of incapable of looking at the big picture. But I guess when you're a teenager, that's just how it is, you know? I also have something to say before we get started. I always have something to say that's like unrelated to the topic before we start, but you know,
I think every podcast
my name is on the podcast, so I'm allowed. Wait, my name's not on the podcast, but there's a cartoon of my face on the podcast, which is basically the same thing. An amazing cartoon, I might add. She's hotter than me in real life. The girl that did our cartoons, her name is Jenny. She's very talented. I will link her Instagram in the show notes.
Yeah, she did a great job.
What was I gonna say?
I don't know.
I said out loud on the podcast a little bit ago that I didn't see angel numbers. And it's like as soon as I said that, the universe was like, oh, no? Okay, here you go. And I feel like ever since I said that, I just see them constantly at any given moment in the time, the ETA on the maps, how many miles I have left, whatever it is. I feel like I'm seeing them all the time. Time in our recording. There isn't one right now, but
Lexi just sent me 2 screenshots this past
week. Well, because somebody
of angel numbers, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this?
You don't have to do anything. You just have to like look at it. I love to screenshot. It always just happens to be when I check my phone. It's like 4:44 or 2:22 or 11:11 or 1:2 or 12:34. So I always have to screenshot and send it to Rachel so that there's like evidence. You know what I mean?
The evidence is you seeing it.
Well, I screenshot it for my own amusement, and I just send it your way. Sorry.
How many screenshots do you have?
I'll keep it to myself from now on. Jeez. It'll just be between me and the angels from now on. I get it.
But then I feel like when you just, like, alert me to it, it, like, ruins, it defeats the purpose of, like.
I don't do it to alert you to it. I just, I'm like, oh, never mind. Get out of here. It's enough for you.
You get out of my messages with your screenshots. Oh, something funny just happened to me. I already told Lexi, but I'll just share with the podcast. So.
I feel like yours is like, you had to be there, but it's fine. Continue.
Well, no one was there but me, so I have to share. I was letting my parents' dog out, and he's a standard poodle, and he likes to chase. So I started running, and he just is not coordinated at all. So he just ran straight into me.
And he's huge.
Yeah, he just ran straight into me. And, like, I went flying into, like, a patch of mud, and I was just really mad because I had just showered.
Rachel called me on FaceTime to, like, be like this, to point to the spot on the ground and be like, this is where I just fell. And there was literally, like, an indentation in the mud, like, where her body was.
Because, like, my hands, like, slid across the mud.
It's okay. I went skiing yesterday. I face planted multiple times. I, like, posted something on my story of the mountain and somebody was like, you ski? And I was like, I wouldn't say that I ski. I don't even think I can confidently be like, yeah, I ski.
I've never been skiing, so, like, I don't know what it's like.
It's so anxiety inducing.
Why?
Like my boyfriend loves it because he said it's, like, the biggest adrenaline rush to, like, be, like, flying down a black diamond on the snowboard. I totally get it. And, like, love the adrenaline rush as much as the next person. But, you know, something like skydiving, you just are strapped to a person and you really don't have to do anything. But skiing, it's, like, all in your hands. There's so many people to crash into. And just, it's just so scary. Would not recommend, to be honest.
It sounds so fun.
I'm good with the one time a year that I go.
It's a sport. You just gotta, like, practice.
I know, but I don't go frequently enough to get good at it.
Well, I think I would really like it. One day I'll have to go.
Come with us next year. Me and you will stay on the green hills together.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to be so good. I just know it. I'm just going to be, like, on the advanced trail.
And it
I'm
also, like, my calves are crying today. If you've ever been skiing, the whole thing is, like, French fry pizza. Like, your feet have to be straight to go forward. And if you want to go on the brakes, you have to, like, pigeon toe your toes and make, like, a pizza shape. You best believe I am in the pizza shape the whole way down the mountain. We are never getting off the brakes. Like, it's just how it has to be.
Have you ever done snowboarding?
No, absolutely not. Well, maybe one day, but not now. Not anytime soon.
I want to try snowboarding.
Maybe I'd be better at it.
You don't have to, like, hold anything.
Well, you don't have to hold poles either. Like, the pole, when you go skiing, the poles are entirely optional. And, like, I see kids, 5-year-olds, just zipping right by me, no poles, no nothing, no pizza, just zipping right by, and I am over here clutching the poles for dear life, pizza toes, never stopping. Like, it takes me so long to get down the mountain.
So are you, like, alone the whole time, basically?
Cody will stop once in a while to, like, let me catch up.
That sounds so fun for him.
Anyway, our birth chart readings.
Yes.
Everything I have to say will be a mixture of my birth chart reading and the next 6 months ahead. We both agreed there's a lot of personal stuff that she got into. Not all of it is really worth sharing on the podcast, but we'll talk about the fun stuff.
Yeah, I want to share this tweet because I thought it was offensive. It's about astrology. And this person said, I will never consider a Scorpio anything ever, in parentheses, romantically. They are the literal devil.
And you're a Scorpio. My boyfriend and mom are both Scorpios, but they're Scorpios in Western astrology. I have no idea what they are in Vedic astrology. These are Vedic astrology readings that we got, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We probably should have mentioned that.
So we're both Cancers in Western astrology. We're Cancer suns, I should say. Both of our birthdays are in July, but your rising sign is based on what time you were born, and your rising sign is also like much more prevalent in Vedic astrology. So they don't go by your sun sign, they only go by your rising sign. So I'm a Taurus rising in Vedic astrology, which means I'm a Taurus, which is different than Western astrology. They go by your sun sign.
Aren't you a Taurus rising in Western though?
I'm a Gemini rising in Western. Because Vedic is, this is why you got to go back and listen to the interview with Jill if you haven't.
I thought you had Taurus in your chart.
I do in Vedic. In Western astrology, it's like everything, the sun, rising, and moon is all a sign later than it is in Vedic astrology. And I was so conflicted because of Western astrology, I have like drilled into my head that I'm a Cancer and I'm a water sign and I'm super emotional, you know, all the water things. But Taurus is an earth sign and that's what I am in Vedic astrology. So I said to Jill, like, it's so weird to not look at myself as a water sign. And she was like, honey, your chart still has three planets in water signs, two of which are Cancer specifically. So it's still all there. And she also said Taurus and Cancer have a lot of similarities, so it's not...
What are you in Western, then?
So in Western astrology, I'm a Cancer sun.
No, in your rising sign.
And a Gemini rising. So because I'm a Gemini rising in Western, I'm a Taurus rising in Vedic, because it's one sign earlier.
Well, I've heard, even for Western astrology, that you should read your birth, like, or read your horoscope daily for your rising sign, not your sun sign.
Because it's much more specific to you. Like, the sun signs are so... broad, and the time you were born is much more specific.
So I'm a Sagittarius rising in Western and a Scorpio in Vedic, which is still a water sign.
Ooh, so you're still a water sign. I love it. But yeah, so when we're talking about these readings, I'm going to be like speaking from I'm a Taurus, which just means I'm a Taurus rising in Vedic astrology, and you're going to be going off of I am a Scorpio. A Scorpio rising in Vedic astrology.
It's so weird because I feel like there's so much hate towards Scorpios. Hence that tweet. Apparently we're the devil.
Well, why don't you tell us what it means to be a Scorpio rising? Why don't you educate us all of us haters? What is this journal that I'm looking at? Is this a journal from like middle school?
It's from 2009. So yeah.
Rachel was like, let me get out my notes from her reading, and she pulls out this journal that what year is it from?
2009.
I see Winnie the Pooh, I see a big peace sign, a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie.
That's all my favorite things. A gorilla, an elephant, my dog, Mickey Mouse, the Cancer sign.
Oh my god, she was an astrology bitch in middle school. We love to see it.
I guess I was. I just didn't remember. I just never finished the journal, so now I use it again.
Good. We're not wasting paper out here.
So I jotted down like a few of the characteristics. Courage, wanting to improve yourself, specifically improve yourself inward, like your inner self. You're a loyal friend. You can often become like therapists or psychologists or something, or someone that like helps people. You also know how to push people's buttons. Your relationships, like not friendship relationships, but other relationships can be... So relationships seem vulnerable to a Scorpio. Like, you have to be vulnerable in it. Our goal is to, like, fix our emotions. But we have to realize that that's impossible. And be content with, like... Because we're always trying to do inner work. And sometimes, you know, you can't just make yourself happy or make yourself not sad. So it's just something you have to work on.
Like, accepting your emotions.
Yeah. So you have to take responsibility of your feelings. And she gave some advice about like treating relationships kind of like a business, where you negotiate with each other so that both of your needs can be met.
That's a good tip.
Which I thought was smart
for anyone, really.
Mm-hmm. Because a Scorpio has a hard time being vulnerable, so if you kind of look at it more like you're negotiating, and it helps you open up, I guess. She explained it better than I am, but I'm trying.
She's very eloquent.
And then they're also passionate. They can be intense. They deeply connect with people.
I feel like you're not intense at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm really that intense. But again, like, you don't have to connect with everything.
You're passionate, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely passionate. Yeah, and there's just, like, a few other things. But those are, like, the main things about Scorpios. I definitely relate to most of it, I think. Tell us about your rising sign.
So, I am a Taurus rising. Taurus is ruled by Venus, the planet of pleasure and happiness. So, we love to see it. And Tauruses are all about creativity, relationships, compromise, wanting everyone to get along, and wanting everything to be beautiful and easy and perfect and nice at any given moment, which I actually resonate with a lot. Like she just said, like, oh, like, you probably always want things to be easy and peaceful. And Tauruses are famous for being stubborn because they want things to be easy all the time. And I resonate with that hard only because nothing contributes to my stress level more than A, minor inconveniences, and B, being in situations where others are unhappy. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. So
I feel like if something goes wrong with the audio, you get really upset.
Well, yeah, like I feel like I literally said this to my boyfriend the other day. Like, life is hard enough. Like, people deal with like hardships and loss, and like I think minor inconveniences are just so like like, how are we gonna have both? Like, minor inconveniences take me out. I cannot describe it. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at handling pain and handling sickness. But, like, as soon as, like, my sleeve gets caught on the door handle, my day is ruined.
Yeah, sometimes you get, like, upset over, like, something I think is, like, no big deal or, like, a minor thing. And I just, like, I don't understand. But I guess that's because that's just, like, part of your personality.
No, it's so interesting, like, because she said Tauruses in general are here to learn about contentment. So not just when life is perfect, but regardless of what you have, they're here to learn how to find peace in it. And I resonate with that a lot, because then, like, she specifically said when, like, something triggers you and the minor inconveniences come. And this is, like, back my reading 5 years ago, and I still resonate with this hard. I resonated with it back then, still resonate with it. The things that trigger you are really just testing you and trying to get you to learn contentment no matter where you are in life, you know?
Yeah, my lesson is trying to be happy with, because I'm always trying to fix myself.
So be like, accept yourself and accept your emotions.
Yeah.
So do you resonate with that, like, purpose?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm always trying to find ways to, I don't know, it's like really deep stuff, so it's hard to put into words.
Yeah, I feel like we also like don't have to say everything on the podcast.
It'll take a lot of inner reflection, you know.
She also said for me, art and creativity is super important. Back then I had just started a major in radio, TV and film, and which was perfect. And she said, like, particularly writing and speaking in terms of creativity. And at the time I said, like, oh, I just joined my college radio station and now I have a podcast. So I just think that lined up pretty well. So if you don't know a whole lot about astrology, specifically Vedic astrology, your birth chart has, like, what it looks like. It looks like literally a like 12 boxes, and they're all houses, and all the houses represent the same thing for everyone. So, like, I don't know off the top of my head what each house represents. Like, for example, the eighth house actually is like the house of sudden changes, and like that means the same thing for everyone, but what planets each person has in a certain house will mean something different.
It's very confusing. Like, I feel like I have the signs down, but the houses, I don't quite have them memorized.
It's a lot, because you have to know, like, what each sign means, what each planet means, what each house means, and then, like, piece it together kind of like that, and that's why everyone is so unique. So all the houses represent the same thing for everyone. However, what sign rules your houses and what planets are in your houses are specific to you, and that affects how you feel about it or how you approach it, and it's just, like, fascinating. She also, during this, like, six-month reading, she gave me a calendar of the whole year and what will be going on in the sky, conjunctions, retrogrades, which planets will be in which houses at what times. And that applies to everyone, obviously. The sky will look the same for us all. But when the sun moves into Pisces on March 14th, which it will for everyone, that will mean something different for me than it will for Rachel or for somebody else. Because, like, for example, Pisces rules my 11th house, and it could rule a different house for Rachel. So it will just represent different things in our lives when the sky changes, if that makes sense.
Did she tell you about your north node?
Like the Rahu and Ketu?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the north node is basically what you start, like, when you're born, something you're not good at, and then you get better at it over time. It's like something you grow to get better at.
Rahu and Ketu are very specific to Vedic astrology. They're treated like planets, but I think they're just the lunar nodes. So, like, the two points where the orbit of the moon, like, intersects with the sun's path or something like that. Like, something very scientific. I don't know. And I don't know which one is the north node and which one is the south node. I don't even know.
Oh, I think Rahu is north.
Well, my Rahu is in the fourth house. That's all I know.
Oh, I shouldn't say anything about it.
Well, she said that I have my moon and my Rahu are both in the fourth house, which means, and this is back from my 5 year ago reading, and she said that means I'm, like, more susceptible to access, like, intuition and psychic abilities. I'm like, we love to see it. I'd be all over that now. But of course my 19-year-old self or whatever was like, oh, what does that mean? And, like, I kept asking, like, okay, but what does it mean? Okay, but, like, I don't get it. And Joe probably wanted to be, like, this girl.
Yeah, mine is in my 11th house. which means
your Rahu.
Yeah, it represents your desires for the world and like your ambition, and you want to provide service like for a social cause, and you want to be part of a community and like make change and all that type of stuff.
Does that resonate?
Which is interesting, because I'm not doing any of that right now, I feel like.
Yeah, but this is, like, looking at your whole life, like, who you are as a person in general. So maybe one day.
So I need to, like, be a part of a community, and I need to, like, help people or some kind of social cause.
Well, that's what I love about these readings, because, like, even when I told my mom I was getting this reading, she was like, oh, what is she going to do, like, tell your future? And it's like, no, but she could look at, like, she could look at my birth chart and be like, you might be really happy doing this, and it's something it never occurred to you to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah, because I'm definitely passionate about many different social causes, but I'm not really doing anything for them.
Right.
And I think I need to kind of prioritize that and see what I can do.
Like, it will fulfill you to take action.
And also being part of a community, I think, would be very helpful, because my job currently, I'm alone, so I don't even get like community through my job right now. Yeah.
So that would be your sense of community. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what that is, but I'm gonna try and figure it out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what else I thought was so interesting while we're talking about like the houses and stuff? She told me, this is again back my old reading, she told me I have no planets in my 8th or 12th houses, which, as I said earlier, they're the houses of like sudden changes, things we can't control, and loss, death being the main example of the 8th house according to Jill, which is so fascinating because I have never experienced death on like a hugely personal level. Like, no one close to me has ever died. I'm 25 and I still have all four of my grandparents. And what's even more fascinating is that she said when you don't have any planets in a certain area of life, it probably means you don't have anything to learn from there. So if I'm here to learn peace, which is what a Taurus is here to learn, then having a lot of loss and death would only like throw a wrench in that. So which is so interesting. Part of my 6th month reading, though, like my 6 months ahead, so I got this reading at the end of January, so from now until July, she talks about how there's dashas, which is like a time period in your life. And right now I'm leaving a sun dasha and entering a moon dasha on August 11th. So I'm about to get extra emotional and vulnerable, which is what she said. And she also said it's a work year for me. So the next 6 months will be a lot of work, grinding, promotions, which is amazing when I think of my full-time job, social media, which made me think of the podcast. And she said it will truly be a work-oriented 6 months ahead.
Hopefully that means success by the end of the year.
And I also think like I've been struggling a lot lately with like an internal debate of like, do I need to work extremely hard for everything that I want? Or are humans like capable of getting their desires effortlessly if they truly align with them? Like, I feel like I believe in both of those things. And she said that's because of my Rahu and K2 placements. I don't know what that means, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I had a couple different signs that I guess were opposite of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you can go back and forth kind of on like your beliefs on it.
Yeah, because people look at astrology and it's like, well, you're a Cancer, so you're this, this, and this. But like the sky is always changing. It's so much more than that. How you feel and the things you want can change so quickly. That's why she recommends getting like birth chart readings every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, if you're able to. But I don't know. It's just so not black and white. So when people are like, astrology is bullshit, it's like, well, it's always changing. Like, when no one's telling anyone that anything is set in stone, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And I know right now all the planets are direct. So there's not going to be any retrogrades until, I think, July. So it's like a great time. I've just been seeing this on social media, like different astrologers mention it. So it's going to be a great time to like take action pretty much. It's a good time to take action on what you want. Which I definitely need that little push. So,
well, for me, it says retrograde. Okay, she sent me a calendar, retrograde movements of the planets in 2022. So this honestly made me very confident that I can track the planets, but only if I have a color coded printout, which is what Jill gave me. But when a planet is in retrograde that month, the box is colored in light blue. So it looks like January had Mercury in retrograde, Venus in retrograde. So yeah, you're right. Oh, not until May. So there will not be another planet in retrograde until May. It will be Mercury from May 10th to June 3rd.
Oh, maybe it's May. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, there's no, I guess, how would you, do you describe like a retrograde?
Let me open another handout.
Does she like
Let me open up another color-coded file. Hold on. How to use my Veda calendar. Oh, it says the meeting of all the houses. Jill is amazing. She gave me like a full thing of what each house means, what each sign means. Highly recommend getting a reading from her. We'll link it in the show notes. If you're interested in getting a birth chart reading, she's the one to go to.
Yeah, she is great.
She is not paying us to say this.
Yeah, she gave great insights. Like, she wasn't just like, this is a Scorpio and this is the characteristics of it. This is your sun sign. This is the like, she really gave you insights of...
And she was very patient with all of my questions.
Yeah. And she focuses on, like, what you want to talk about. It's funny she said that. I can get kind of mad if people have different values than me and, like, disagree with me on stuff.
That is you. Yeah.
I get, like...
That's me, too, actually, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I feel like we have the same values. So when other people don't have the same values as us, we, like, just complain about it together.
Oh, you and I. Yeah, yeah, we do have a lot of the same values. Which they say you shouldn't, like, be surrounded by people that think the same as you, but, like, you know.
Well, I don't think we think the same on everything. I think it's good to have the same values.
I really am going to print out this color-coded sheet of my next 6 months and put it on my wall because...
You should.
Like I said, I feel extremely confident that I myself could possibly track the planets as long as I have a sheet with a color code on it. Do you remember when we interviewed her and she said she was, like, in a rest year?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm in a work and grind year. I wonder when my rest year will come. I'm tired. Where's my rest year?
I was going to say, a retrograde is the backwards movement of a planet.
I know, but what does it mean? Oh. I know what happens.
It can throw up all kinds of confusion. So, I guess it affects each planet differently. I'm not going to go through every planet to say how it affects it.
So what does, like, a Mercury retrograde mean?
All right.
Other than don't buy, like, plane tickets or something.
Mercury is a planet of thinking, timing, and communication. When it is in retrograde, it can cause scheduling mix-ups and miscommunications.
Scheduling mix-ups. See? Don't buy plane tickets. That's, like, the only thing I think of, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, each planet has, I guess, their own. So it, like, every... Different planets are in retrograde, and sometimes I think multiple planets can be in retrograde. So since there's no retrogrades for the next, like, 2 months, can't blame the planets for your problems.
Nope. I mean, you can blame them for who you are as a person, but not for your problems.
No, you can blame your mother for having you born on that time, on that day.
I know, right? What time were you born? I was born at 3:05 in the morning.
6:21 p.m.
That's so weird. You're such a morning person. I'm such a night person. Actually, I feel like I am getting more to be a morning person as I age.
I used to get so mad at Lexi when we were teenagers because she was always sleeping when we'd have sleepovers and I would be wide awake. I'd be like, can we, like, go get breakfast? I'm starving. She would just not get out of bed.
You would get mad at me for so many things when we had sleepovers. I would snore. You'd, like, hit me. You'd go in the other room. I'd sleep too late. Same deal.
Okay, I would, like, shove her when she snores. And, like, Lexi would just hit me back even harder.
As I should. What the heck? Oh, you know what else that I thought was really funny? I wrote this down. This is from the old reading, too. She said, you're not a new age, airy-fairy type person. You're more practical and down-to-earth in your beliefs. And it's like, all right, Joel, let me just put away my manifestation journal with my abundance affirmations then.
You're probably like, new age?
I thought that was so funny.
Did you even know what new age was? When she told you that?
No. I'm telling you, like, back then, my head was empty that entire reading, I guarantee. Like, thank God she sends us the recordings. Oh, that's another thing. If you get a reading from her, she sends you the full recording of it later. But, yeah, thank God for those recordings that I could listen to it today because... But it meant a lot now at my big age, so.
But manifestation and all that is stuff that's been... used for a long time.
Practiced for, like, hundreds of years, I'm sure. I just think, like, well, because of social media, it's very easy to get into, like, the new age-iness of it all, you know? Like, the chants and, like, the I am healthy, I am wealthy.
I also don't like that people say all this stuff is bad because it has, like, a bad rap because of the whole new age thing. But these practices have been around for centuries. And it's like, you don't have to follow New Age spirituality to do meditation or yoga or
tarot cards.
Yeah,
tarot but tarot cards also, I feel like, have been used for hundreds of years. Have they not?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. That just bothers me.
Tarot decks were invented in Italy in the 1400s.
Yeah, see? So, I hear people calling these things bad or evil. And it's like they've been around forever. It's not
a new thing. Oh my God. Something else I've been so fascinated in lately is like, oh, this is a perfect segue, actually. A lot of the words that have a negative connotation to them in our present day, the original meaning of them was so misconstrued. So, like, example, like the word weird, what kind of association do we have with that now? You know, like, you're weird. It's so negative. But the word originally just meant somebody that left the mainstream path for their own destiny. Like, that's what that word meant.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, weird. Old English, the old English was W-Y-R-D. It used to mean fate. Or the late Middle English meaning was having the power to control destiny. And it just became a negative thing.
Yeah, like the word witch used to mean wise.
Yes.
And now it means...
Love it.
You, like, people think of it as, like, evil, like witch.
So this is a perfect segue. Because I'm currently reading a book. I'm making it my whole personality.
Wait, are you still reading it?
Yeah, it takes a long time to get through. I'm almost done. I think I'm 2/3 of the way done.
Because you're still reading it in August.
In the summer. I started in the beginning of last summer. It's just, like, you can only process so much at once because it's so much information. But it's called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. And I truly, it is the most eye-opening book I've ever read in my life. And it really, when I was thinking about astrology, it really made me think of this book because I was thinking about how, and I'm not trying to generalize, I'm just making an observation, but many men typically don't believe in astrology and are bothered by it for whatever reason. This makes me, a lot of women too, but mostly men. Like, I think as a collective, like, women tend to gravitate towards astrology and things like that, you know? And The Alphabet Versus the Goddess has the most profound arguments as to basically how we evolved to live in such a misogynistic world. And the author's argument is that the alphabet, or the written word, may have been a huge factor. And he literally starts at the beginning of human history and explains how men evolved to be left-brained, linear-thinking, logical thinkers. And it makes perfect sense. So think, like, the men were hunting. They had to learn to analyze situations. Their brains had to develop to be able to process, like, if blank, then blank. Like, if I go here, there will be a bear. Or, like, something like that, you know? And the left brain is also the doing part of your brain. And women evolve to be right-brained, which is the being part of your brain. The right side of your brain perceives things all at once rather than the left brain, which perceives in a linear chronological sequence. The right brain is image recognition, emotion recognition, and it makes total sense for us to have evolved this way. It actually benefited the men to be less in touch with their emotions because they were always in dangerous situations like hunting. And there's just pages and pages of this right brain, left brain evolution in this book, right? So I just think it's so interesting because men and women essentially evolved to use very different parts of their brain. Obviously, both parts are necessary. The masculine and the feminine sides are equally important. We love a balance. It's just how we evolved. And then enter the alphabet, which itself is linear, chronological, one thing at a time. So it's very masculine, you could say. And the argument is basically that the adaption of the written word, and not just writing in general, because hieroglyphs are pictures. They would trigger the right side of the brain, so it's very different. So specifically the alphabet, quite literally, like, reprogrammed our minds so that we all think like men, or at least, like, the masculine way of thinking has become the expectation, and the feminine way of thinking became invalidated and discredited in a lot of ways. Like, the alphabet came along, and all of a sudden, we adapted the masculine values as the more important values. Like, coincidence? Who knows? It's just this author's theory. And I just think that explains so much. If you think of all of, like, the present day examples of things women collectively tend to enjoy and gravitate towards that men try to discredit, think astrology, pop music, oh, that's a chick movie, you know, things like that. And it's like men love hating things that women like. And women aren't very often out here thinking less of a man because he likes sports. You know what I mean? And back to astrology really quick. I swear I'm almost done. Back to astrology, the author of the book even says that in ancient times, pre-alphabet to be exact, astrologers had high status and were often consulted with by the public when they needed to deal with literally anything. And now it's just associated with either the occult or just like women having like a silly interest. And again, I'm making like such a generalization. Of course, there are creative men that love astrology. There are many logical thinking girl boss women. Either is great. However, when you break it down regarding human evolution, it's fascinating to be like, oh, did we evolve to be expected to think like men?
Yeah, not to call my dad out, but he just thought it was silly when I was telling him about my astrology reading. My mom was really into it, of course.
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom was into it. And my dad was like, what?
Yeah, and I hate to be making such a generalization, but this book has really made me think like this all the time. I'll link it in the show notes.
Okay, I know you love that book.
You have to read it, except I already highlighted in it, but...
It's fine. I don't really highlight in books anyway.
I didn't either until this book. Like, he literally takes you through human history and talks about all the cultures and their values and how the women were treated. And it's just coincidentally, all of the literate cultures treated their women a lot more poorly than the illiterate cultures.
Yeah, I think that's so fascinating.
Fascinating stuff.
Like how indigenous cultures don't sexualize women as much as West. Ugh.
And like women and men were equal for like the majority of human history until a certain point where there was just a shift. And it just also happened to be when the alphabet came. So
it's like a loaded topic right there. So
I know, but when you think about it in terms of, because he even brings up astrology and how like astrologers were widely respected. And what is astrology now? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like guys just sometimes have a hard time getting past the fact that there's not like a study done or factual information or something.
Well, yeah, they evolved to be more logical thinkers. It's not their fault.
Yeah.
But the argument is like, even though we both, like men and women, evolved differently, why is it that the masculine values tend to be more validated? Like, that's where like the alphabet argument would come in, you know?
I feel like that book would just make me angry the whole time I'm reading it.
I love when people see me holding it and they ask what it is. I'm like, are you ready? Okay, I'll tell you.
Did you hear that, guys? So if you see Lexi in public,
she's holding the book for attention and she's begging you to ask her. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, they just heard your whole spiel, so.
I summarized it for you. You're welcome.
We didn't even finish it. There's still more to come.
There's more to come. Well, he already presented the argument and the evolution aspect. Now we're just going through history step by step of like, here are all the examples. So right now I'm at like the medieval times. So I'll let you know. I wonder how late he goes.
I don't know.
Like, all right, the year 2000. I don't know when the book came out. I think it was early 2000s. So anyway, are you glad you got a birth chart reading?
Yeah, I think we talked a lot about career and what I can do, you know, for my future and stuff, which was really helpful. Because I do want to have a fulfilling career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm thinking about a lot right now, especially at my age. So it just gave me a lot to think about.
And she gave you tips, it sounds like.
Yeah, we focused on career and love life. I'm not going to get into the love life part, though.
I was going to say, one of which we will not be sharing.
But yeah, career was definitely cool. Because a lot of my signs are pointing towards like helping people and being with people one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously right now, I don't even like work with anybody in person. I'm alone, so I need some human interaction in my life. Although working remote is very nice, but it comes with its downfalls. So I guess in 6 months we can check back and see how you're doing.
Oh yeah, are you gonna get them? Are you gonna get, oh, for me, are you gonna get a 6 month reading, do you think? Now that you like have more of an understanding of your birth chart?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in 6 months, we can check back.
We'll circle back. We'll see if I got any promotion. Yeah, we'll see if I got any promotions. If we can, and whatever. What was the date she told me? I think it was August 11th is the date that something's going to change. Let me find it. What'd she say? Oh, August 11th, I'm entering a moon dasha. I'm leaving a sun dasha and entering a moon dasha, which will mean I'm going to get extra emotional and vulnerable. So we will see.
Ooh, what's
going to
happen in August?
Circle back on August 12th. Maybe I'll be a complete basket case. Who knows?
Well, apparently I'm always thinking about my emotions, so.
If you're interested in getting a birth chart reading, I highly recommend it. Obviously we're going to recommend Jill, and we'll put the link to do that in our show notes. But in general, I just think that it's very fascinating. Even if you don't want a birth chart reading, Vedic astrology is super fascinating. There's still so much more to learn about it, mm-hmm. but I think we're on a good start here.
Yeah. And there's not like a ton of resources out there like for Western astrology. So having an actual astrologer helping you is
yes.
great.
And if you have a million questions like I did, she'll happily answer them. We were like going, there was like something, I don't remember what it was. There was like something in my chart that I was not grasping when we just did the 6 month reading. And when I finally got it, she was like, yes, you got it. But I don't remember what it was.
So thanks for listening, and follow us on Instagram at Secrets in Nature Podcast. And we have a YouTube channel. Everything is linked in our bio on our Instagram. And don't forget to leave us a review, preferably a 5-star review. No, but any review would be great on Apple Podcasts. So I hope everyone has a great day or night, wherever they are in the world.
Until next Friday.
Bye.
Bye.